Welcome to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. The Dog Show is brought to you in part by Invisible Fence Northwest. Invisible Fence for the life of your pet. Check out InvisibleFenceNW.com to learn about their indoor and outdoor solutions for both dogs and cats. The Dog Show is also brought to you in part by All the Best Pet Care. All the best food, treats, and toys for your dog and cat. You can find them online at AllTheBestPetCare.com. See where all of their 9 locations are around Western Washington. We have a guest in the booth with us right now. We have Tim Bishop with Northwest Boxer Rescue. And Tim is actually a host of his own show here on the station called Constructing Whatever. And it's on at 10 a.m. Saturday mornings. Welcome to the Dog Show, Tim.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Now, your show is about where people call in and ask questions about construction.
Yeah, home repair and remodeling.
Yeah. Cool. And you're also a dog enthusiast, specifically boxers.
Yes. Yes.
So we're going to be talking with Tim today about the breed and his experience with his own dogs and the dogs that he's fostered. And then in the second segment, we will be talking with one of the founders of Northwest Boxer Rescue, Christian Stern. He's going to be calling in and we'll be talking with him during the second segment. So, boxers, let's just talk about the breed in general, because this is not a breed that we have. Every once in a while, we'll kind of focus on a specific breed for whatever reason. And this is a new breed for the show, so we haven't actually talked specifically about boxers on this show yet. So, tell us about the breed and like what were they bred to do originally and that type of thing.
Well, the boxers were bred down from the smaller line of mastiffs that the Romans had created. The Romans made 2 different kinds of dogs, one for fighting in the arena and one dog they didn't really care about, which ended up becoming a working dog. From there, you have your Rottweilers and your boxers and dogs like that. They were bred mostly as, well, entirely for working dog, for hunting. Mm-hmm. They used them in groups to hunt wild boar. Later on, when agriculture became more popular, they used them for herding dogs and actually for slaughter dogs. So they would use the dogs to hold a bull, for example, while the butcher would kill it. They also used them for guard dogs as well. They're very popular. And actually, the German army used them for guard dogs as well. Mm-hmm. Aside from all this kind of violence and craziness that you're kind of getting this picture, they're actually really sweet, loving family dogs at the same time, which seems kind of counterintuitive. Yeah. But, you know, maybe not so great with bulls, but great with kids.
Right. Not many people have bulls around their house. No. Yeah. And what I've known with the boxers that I've worked with through my business, Sensitive Dog, doing dog training and behavior, is that they are very playful, goofy, fun-loving, lots of personality, and especially when they're young, high energy.
They're a bright flame and a short candle. They don't live very long, you know, but they just really flame on. You know, they're incredible.
What is, so they, their average lifespan, I mean, when a boxer gets to be like 9-10 years old, that's considered really old for the breed, isn't it?
Yeah, 9-10, that's, you have a good dog if it makes it to 9-10. Friend of mine, their neighbors have 2 13-year-old boxers.
Wow.
So obviously they can live longer, but typically 9 or 10 years old, yeah.
Do you know what it is that typically takes them out so
cancer.
Young?
Cancer.
Cancer.
Yeah, they're prone to cancer, unfortunately.
The founder of a website called truthaboutpetfood.com, Susan Thixton, I've had her on the show a few times. She's awesome. She's on a rampage about pet food. She started that whole thing because she had a boxer that she had that died of bone cancer. And she was told that it was something in the food that caused it. And she was like, oh, no. And now she's got her whole thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that the boxer genome was the first genome that they cracked. And the reason being is because the dog genome and human genome are actually quite similar. But What they found is what the boxers have problems with is very common in humans also. So they figured, well, if we can genetically figure out how to fix some of these problems in boxers, we could also do it with humans.
Yeah.
So they suffer from a lot of the same things that we do. Same different kinds of cancers, everything from skin cancer to bone cancer. They also have kidney problems and liver problems. I mean, they're prone to have problems, and that's where picking a dog is really important.
Yeah. So you work with Northwest Boxer Rescue, and how did you get connected with them?
Let's go back about 5 years or six, 7 years ago. Running my own contractor business, I had a few customers, and 1 year I had like four or five different customers that had boxers, and I just fell in love with them.
Yeah,
and I decided the next dog I'm going to get is going to be boxer, and I brought a boxer home for Christmas, which didn't go over very well with my wife. But after about 4 or 5 months, as we're getting through the puppy stage, my wife really started falling in love with him, and we both did. He was a great dog, and that's where you really see this wonderful side of these animals. And unfortunately, he died of a congenital kidney disorder, and it just tore my wife and I apart. Ironically, it happened about a week after my father passed.
Oh, man.
This was just last year. So I wanted to get another dog. My wife did not. She couldn't bring herself to replace the dog. So I found these guys, and ever since, we've been fostering dogs.
And you have a permanent foster now, right?
I do. I have a 9-year-old flashy fawn male who's very stiff and funny, and he's a real character. Likes to eat rocks. He hunts rocks. Uh-huh. He's got the pinned ears, which I've never been really I've never really liked, but it's kind of grown on me instead of the flop ears.
Yeah,
but yeah, he's great. And I have a white female now. She's about 4 years old. Her name is Piper.
Yeah, and the white technically is not. There's kind of a thing about white boxers, and they can often be deaf. Is that right?
Yeah, deafness, blindness is another problem they have. They tend to be like the genetic cesspool of the boxers. Nobody really wants them because they have the most problems.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, they were actually drowned at birth by the breeders. Mm-hmm. So you didn't used to see a lot of them around. You see them a lot more nowadays.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times, if you're looking for boxers from breeders, they'll either give them away or sell them really, really cheap.
Yeah. And I think for the breed standard, as far as the American Kennel Club goes, I think they can't have more of a third of their body white.
Yeah, they're not even accepted as a boxer. The white ones are. And actually, if you try to breed a white boxer, you'll be just shunned out of the organization
for
completely.
For good reasons.
Yeah, for good reasons.
So we talked a little bit about their history and their temperament, that they are very friendly, very fun-loving. What are some of the challenges and maybe some of the reasons why there's so many that need homes?
The first thing that I was told about boxers is that they're really sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you got this Mastiff dog. They don't look real sensitive.
Yeah.
But actually, they really are. They're very sensitive, and they're very emotional dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be, their nature, a boxer's nature is to be happy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see a sad boxer, some bad things have happened.
Yeah, there's got to be a reason for it.
And I think a lot of it is they're very sensitive to, any dog if you hit them, for example.
Right.
But they're also very sensitive to attitude, too. If you're really gruff with them all the time, they don't react well.
Mm-hmm.
And they get whipped down pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say first off, that is a challenge because you have to come to a balance with being firm when training them, but at the same time being forgiving with training them too. You know, like with most dogs, they're just seem to be a little more sensitive than say, my schnauzers were.
Right.
Yeah,
we take care of a friend's giant schnauzer, and she is a force to be reckoned with, that's for sure.
Well, even the small ones are.
Yeah.
I would say that's one of the challenges. The other one is they need a lot of exercise.
Yeah.
You can't just keep them in the backyard. They're going to, it's the classic idle hands are the devil's playground. That's really the case with boxers.
Yeah.
People forget, they're great family dogs. But they're a working breed,
yeah.
And they want to be with you all the time.
Yeah.
My dog Dutch that passed, he went with me everywhere I went, uh-huh. all the time, every job site. You know, if he couldn't go in the house, he sat in the back of our big work truck. You know, just posted guard, standing there. He went with me to Home Depot. Everywhere I went, he went.
Yeah.
And I've gotten in that same habit with whatever foster I have.
Yeah.
In order for me to evaluate them and make sure that they don't get into trouble at home while they're alone or get out, I take the dog with me everywhere I go. And as we were discussing, I do the Home Depot test. I mm-hmm. take them into Home Depot and see how they interact in a group of people in a, you know, controlled setting.
Yeah. And there's all sorts of large appliances and moving things.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Things that would potentially weird a dog out.
So I would say lots, you know, the challenge is keeping them busy. They have to have lots of toys. The other challenge is diet. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have a very big intestinal tract. If you look at them, and it's so funny. My father is a medical chemist, and I was saying, I don't understand why this dog has gas. These dogs have gas so much. And he goes, well, just look at how big their intestinal tract is. Look at their waist. And I went, oh, that makes sense. they don't have a very big intestinal tract. So they have, they're very sensitive about what you feed them. And you have to, they all seem to be a little different about what they want and what works for them.
What they do best on, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break here soon. We've been talking with Tim Bishop with Northwest Boxer Rescue. Tim also has his own radio show on KKNW called Constructing Whatever. Check it out on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. And we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will have Christian Stern on the phone, who's one of the founders of Northwest Boxer Rescue. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150.
Stands a boxer and a fighter by his trade, and he carries the reminders of every glove that laid him.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that is fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com. Or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you are a Dog Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
For home repair, remodeling, construction advice, ideas, and useful stories every Saturday from 10 till 11 a.m., tune in to Constructing Whatever. With over 40 years of combined experience, hosts Tim and Lynn talk about whatever, from important need-to-know topics to fielding your questions about the latest industry news. It's Constructing Whatever, every Saturday morning, right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Tim and Lynn are back in the saddle again this week, taking your calls and talking home improvement projects. Tune in and join the conversation Saturday at 10 a.m.
Family owned since 1975, Dr. Don's Automotive has been awarded Best Auto Repair from Seattle Magazine, Seattle Weekly, and Ballard News Tribune. It's time for a service to get your car ready for summer heat. Summer service includes oil change, check AC and cooling systems, and more. Mention this ad for 5% off parts and labor on any service. Dr. Don's Automotive, expert auto repair and service with honesty of a dog lover that you can trust. Find them online, drdonsautomotive.com, or call 206-782-6303.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Connectin and Optigest, we cover the world of living successfully with your animal friends. This week, June 3rd, it's Behavior Training and Healing Sunday with me. We'll have open phone lines throughout the show for your calls and any questions you have about your animal friends. Plus, my feature subject will be the Pleckner Syndrome, how it affects our animals' health and behavior, and particularly my family of cats. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Joan Serena, creator of Therapy Corner Store, servicing your animal needs through therapeutic music, massage, aromatherapy, and workshops. Helping people connect with their dogs and promote healing through touch and music with her instructional CD, Therapeutic Music with Canine Massage. go to joansorita.com. That's JOANSORITA.com to order your therapeutic music with canine massage today. Or call 425-877-4824. That's 425-877-4824. JoansArita.com. Therapeutic music, aromas, and massage for your dog.
Outside the box, outside the norm, inside your radio. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. In the last segment, we were talking with Tim Bishop about his participation with Northwest Boxer Rescue and also mentioning his radio show on this station, Constructing Whatever, 10 a.m. on Saturdays. Check that out. And on the line with us now we have is Christian Stern, one of the founders of Northwest Boxer Rescue. Hi, Christian. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon.
Well, thanks for calling in. And so wanted to talk more about Northwest Boxer Rescue as an organization. So tell us a bit about your story and the work that you do.
Well, it all started about 6 years ago for me. Newly married man. My wife, you know, I was gone away on work a lot of the time. My wife was home. So we were looking for a kind of a companion dog for her that she would feel safe with. So we went down to a local animal shelter here in Central Washington, and we saw a dog that we just absolutely fell in love with, and we brought this girl home. Her name was Paris, and she was a boxer, and we didn't know, you know, a whole lot about the breed, but she was so smart. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that someone wasn't looking for this dog was just mind-boggling to us. This girl, she knew everything. She was so well-behaved, didn't, you know, jump on the bed. You know, so we fell in love with her. We fell in love with the breed. So we began looking for, you know, another companion, and that's when I got my boy, Bane. He's actually the logo for our rescue. But when I got him, he actually had battery clamp marks burned into his ears, like someone put battery clamps from a car charger onto his ears. And he actually had duct tape marks where they duct taped his mouth shut and they duct taped his paws so he doesn't fight back, as he was a sparring dog. Mm-hmm. He had been, you know, he had scrapes all over his face. He had his teeth filed down. But this boy, all he wanted to do was love. Mm-hmm. So my heart just melted. And ever since then, I've just been looking, you know, I've been trying to keep boxers from going into bad situations like that, but to also be able to, you know, keep the breed in a positive light. A lot of people, they look at these dogs and they go, oh, that dog looks mean, that dog looks scary, that's a pit bull. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, these dogs are great dogs. So ever since then, I've just been, you know, meeting people, finding dogs that needed us and just loving on them. I mean, that is the two things that we ask for, is this modern structure. So from there, my wife and I have been doing this, you know, out of our house for 5 years. But the time came where the need was so great for a boxer rescue to step up and look for homes and look for these dogs to save that my wife and I, in November, we started Northwest Boxer Rescue.
Mm-hmm. And so you are primarily a network of foster homes?
Yes, we are just foster homes. We are foster homes all along I-5 in Oregon, Washington. I'm actually based out of Ellensburg, and the headquarters will soon be moving to Spokane. We have foster homes in Boise, all the way up to Kelowna, Canada.
Mm-hmm. And so you said that you're bringing a lot of boxers up from California because there's a very high euthanasia rate down there?
Yes, it is. Unfortunately, you know, there is a strong need for boxers to be placed into great homes here, and we do take care of those. Also, about every 3 to 4 weeks, we do take on a large-scale transport of about 12 to 15 dogs from California shelters. Mm-hmm. Just because of the overabundance of the breed down there, and just because of the breed, they're being put to sleep through no fault of their own. And this breed, you know, as Tim was saying, is just an amazingly loving breed. Through no fault of their own, they're being put to sleep. So what we're trying to do is do our part to be an outlet for boxers down there as well. I myself have driven down to L.A. and driven back with an SUV full of dogs. You know, it's a great experience, but it's also, you know, we're doing our part to save dogs from whatever we can.
Yeah, and to give them a better chance. A lot of dogs don't get a fair chance at a successful life.
Mm-hmm.
Christian keeps mentioning love, 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 and that's really what these dogs, they just soak it up, and they'll give it all back to you, too.
Yeah.
They're full love.
Yeah. Christian, what do you think are the biggest challenges of living with a boxer?
Besides the short time that we have with them, I mean, really, you know, being able to do everything that each individual one needs. For example, I own 4 boxers myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have, you know, 3 males and a female, and being able to go out and do all these things they want to constantly do. But also, you know, another challenge is this also having a lap. These guys, you know, they're lap dogs. I'm not going to lie, all 4 of my dogs sleep on the bed with me. So if people are not looking for a dog that wants to be with them, if they're looking for a dog that's going to go lay off in a corner and sleep for half the day,
yeah,
you know, that can be that. But then this dog, from 6 weeks old till, you know, unfortunately their last days, they're wanting to spend their time with you. So if people aren't looking for that, and that's what we're finding a lot of right now, is that when these dogs are growing up, oh, they're really cute puppies. Now people are seeing, well, these dogs are cute still, but they have a lot of energy and they're big.
Yeah.
So people aren't really too in keen with that.
And they're also wanting to engage a lot, and not all dog. I mean, there's a lot of dog breeds out there and individuals that are more independent in their temperament, and it sounds like boxers are, you know, generally speaking, very engaging and really need that. So to make sure that the person who is bringing a boxer into their home can expect the dog to be wanting to engage with them a lot, and that it's, and some people love that and are up for that, and other people don't necessarily want that.
Exactly. And that's, you know, we are looking for boxer families. There, you know, there are great dog families out there, but boxer families, you know, as Kim can attest to, they're a special thing. They, you know, they know a boxer when they see them. Their face lights up when they see that wiggle butt. You know that wiggle butt's going to continue to go for the next 5 or 6 hours, you know, stuff like that.
You know, I saw that wiggle butt all over the web when I was researching before this interview. And it is, I mean, the boxers that I've known, they have a very specific thing that they do when they wag, and they like kind of throw one hip to the side and then start wiggling, and it's a great great way that they animate themselves to show how happy they are, and just they're very joyful, playful breed.
They actually physically, the way I see it, they turn their body into a smile. They're not just smiling with their mouth, they're smiling with their body.
That's right.
Yeah. So boxers are typically larger breed. And we were talking a little bit about how they do have a shorter life than, you know, the average lifespan of a dog. And you've alluded to that a little bit. And so tell us a bit. Now, you mentioned the fostering aspect, and that's really, you know, what keeps your organization going, Northwest Boxer Rescue, and a lot of other rescue organizations, is really the foster homes. And that's a way that people can support your organization or another organization is to become a foster home. What does that look like?
Well, what it is you are giving the dog 2 things, love and structure, 2 things that most of the time these dogs have never seen. And really what we ask is for a 2, 3, 4 week commitment that you would just open your heart and your home to a dog to love on and to give the structure of if this dog you were going to keep forever. We ask, you know, do you feed the dog, you know, 2x a day or 3 times a day per when you feed your dog? You know, the first thing we ask you to do is to take that dog into your home and give it a bath. And you can physically see the stress and all the crud that's gone on with this dog's life for however long it's been, you know, not loved, literally just melt away. And, you know, we're a type of organization that we're not going to put a dog into someone's home that doesn't mesh with them. If you have kids and you're concerned about putting a dog into your home that doesn't get along with kids, we personally are only going to put a dog that we know has been with kids and we know will be great with your kids.
Right.
If you've got a cat, you know, we're going to put a dog in your home that gets along great with cats. You know, if you're looking for, well, you know, I'm not really set up for a dog, but I can do some puppies, great. You know, we're willing to work with whatever volunteer level you're looking for. Mm-hmm. You know, we do ask that you feed the dog. We pay for the vet bills. There's a special type of food. You know, we will pay for that. We just ask for people to just kind of open up their lives for a dog that's never experienced anything of a positive nature for a short amount of time.
And do you find that they typically bounce out of their past situation pretty quickly?
Yes. You know, I've spoke with a couple behaviorists, and boxers, when they get into a foster home, they improve. Very extremely rarely do they go downhill and get bad behaviors. But once they get that trust, they're looking up to you with that wiggle button. You know, they're starting to smile, and they're like, you know, yes, I'm finally figuring out what it takes to be a dog. They're no longer having to go and, you know, think, where am I going to get my next meal? I know my next meal is going to be at 5 o'clock. I know that we're going to go out in the backyard after that and play tug of war. We're going to play wrestling. You know, I know that I'm going to get some head scratches. I'm not going to get beat.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of experience, you know, it is going to happen.
Yeah. And then, like you said, it's generally, you know, 3 to 4 week commitment for a foster home. And then your organization is able to place the dog into a permanent home and find someone who wants to adopt the dog.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, it's a great way to help support dogs in general is to be a foster home through whatever the organization is that speaks to you. If it's boxers, if it's old dogs, if it's, you know, whatever. It's a really, really great way to just open your home and give a dog, like you said, the love and structure that they need to be successful. Christian, your website is nwboxerrescue.org. So if you want to learn more about Northwest Boxer Rescue, you can find them online there. You can also find them on Facebook, and you can also find Tim's show. We were talking with Tim in the first segment. His show is Constructing Whatever, and he has a Facebook page as well, and that's on 10 a.m. Saturday mornings on this wonderful station, 1150 a.m. Tim and Christian, thanks so much for your time today and talking to us about boxers and the wonderful work that you guys do. Thanks so much for the energy that you put in.
Thank you.
And we'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150.
Specializing in spinal decompression, chiropractic, and physiotherapy, Dr. Justin Favreau and his team uses integrative, evidence-based treatments to provide his patients with comprehensive care that works with the body as a whole connected system. Director of the Advanced Rehabilitation and Wellness Center, Dr. Favreau would love to find a solution for your symptoms of pain, numbness, and tingling, headaches, allergies, fatigue, and general malaise. Contact Dr. Favreau at 206-497-4962 or go to advancedrehabandwellness.com. That's advancedrehabandwellness.com.
For more than 25 years, All the Best Pet Care has been helping people choose the best foods, treats, and toys for their dogs and cats. They are a locally owned family business bringing about little miracles every day by following the Mother Nature model of nutrition. Stop by to meet their adoption cats, schedule an anesthesia-free dental cleaning, or bring your dog to the toy testing area. Visit their new store in Edmonds next to the PCC and their expanded Redmond store in the Whole Foods Plaza. To learn more, go to allthebestpetcare.com. or follow them on Facebook. This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick and Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Ahead of the talk radio curve, naturally. Alternative Talk 1150. I need you and your love too. Come on and
rescue me. Come on, baby, and rescue me. Welcome back to the Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. Love that song. It's a good one.
Great song, yeah. Fontella Bass. Well, Rescue Me. Yeah. Well, of course, we're talking about rescuing boxers during the first half of the show. So.
Yes, and now we are talking with Alejandro Russo, who's the founder of Kloof, the app for pet lovers. Hi, welcome to the Dog Show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Julie.
You're welcome. So tell us about what is Kloof and what makes it the app for pet lovers?
Well, Kloof has been launched this week. It's fresh out of the oven.
Uh-huh.
This is the iPhone app for pet lovers. It lets pet lovers create profiles for their pets, upload cool pics, share them on Facebook. And what's cool about it is that it's all gamified. So you can earn points and badges for having cute pets and being a good pet lover.
Mm-hmm. So you are brand new. You've only been out for about a week. Is that what you said?
Yeah, exactly. This is brand new. We've had some early adopters, some enthusiasts, and they've loved it so far. So we're pretty excited about it.
That's great. And so people can... Is this a free app?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's completely free. You just log into the App Store in your iPhone or in iTunes. You type in Kloof, that's K-L-O-O-F, and you just download it for free.
And then people can create profiles and for their dogs, and then they can earn, like you said, badges and points for basically getting attention, like their dogs getting attention from others?
Yeah, exactly. It's just a super fun way and simple to share the content that you'd like to share of your dog. And people can rate your dog if it's cute, funny, posh, or tough. Dogs can get ranked. You can follow other pet lovers as well and see the pictures that they've taken. So it's just super fun.
Uh-huh. And what got my attention about Kloof, the app for pet lovers, is that you had a really fun story that you put out about dogs and dating, the top five dog breeds for dating.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about how, about that information and kind of how that all went down.
Well, it's a funny story, actually. When we were just out in parks and talking to pet lovers, you know, having some research done on our app, we started seeing how people started connecting and talking and breaking the ice with other people in the park through their pets, through their dogs. So we said, wow, I mean, there's something there, and dogs can really help us just get in touch with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, I wonder if there are certain breeds that do this better than other breeds. Or we wonder if there are certain breeds that say that we're in a particular way more than other breeds. So we started having the survey that represents more than 1,000 pet owners and non-pet owners. And we found some interesting results.
So tell us about, so you found there were, it seemed like there were certain breeds that attracted, like that would attract a woman to a man versus a man to a woman?
Yeah. First of all, I want to say that this is, it can be for heterosexual, homosexual. It doesn't mean if a woman is attracted to anyone. And what we found out is that there are certain breeds that make women more appealing if you're looking for marriage material. For example, golden retrievers and labradors in the poll, they stood out by far from the other breeds as dogs that make you feel that the woman who owns them would be good marriage material.
Yeah.
And we started asking people why they thought that, and it's mainly because it gives them this woman a maternal feel. You see them with kids, they're playful dogs. They require care, which is good, but they don't require that much care, which is also good. So that's why they're perceived as good men.
So did you, in your little research project that you did here, did you come across some breeds that actually had the opposite effect?
Well, it depends, and depends on what you're looking for. For example, Chihuahuas were considered to be good for women, make them look attractive, but just for getting a date, not something in the long term. So it depends on how you look at it, but in Chihuahuas, for example, make women look more attractive, but they make them look less attractive in the long run.
Uh-huh. You know, interesting.
For something more serious.
I wonder if Paris Hilton has anything to do with that.
I bet she does. I mean, you know that the media in general influences people to perceive, you know, and make people feel different ways.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it probably does.
And what dog breeds made men more attractive?
Okay, so this is very... So for men, you see the same pattern with Golden Retriever, but you get German Shepherds. German Shepherds are the top breed for making men attractive and good marriage material.
Huh.
That's because when we asked the people in the park, they said that German Shepherds were very manly, very masculine, and they showed you that they made you feel protected. And that's what a lot of women said that they want and they look for in a man that's going to be the father of their kids and, you know, the husband they come home to. So that's a dog breed that makes men attractive and that isn't present in women because it has like that manly masculine feel.
Mm-hmm. And German Shepherds are also... generally require a lot of work, and so I think that would also reflect his ability to commit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're not just a breed that you can leave outside.
Well, there are really no breeds that you can just leave outside, if you ask me, but I understand what you're saying with, you know, the German Shepherds. I mean, they are very engaging. They're definitely a lot of dog. And I think it's a misconception, too, to say that really, I mean, I can't think of any breed that doesn't require a fair amount of work. I mean, I think that...
Yeah, I mean, if you love your pet, you're obviously going to dedicate a lot of care and attention to them.
Right.
But there are certain breeds that require a little bit more.
Yep. And
for example, I have a schnauzer and a Silky Terrier, but my Silky Terrier, she requires like so much more care than the schnauzer. And they're both great. They're both very, very warm and loving to me. They just give me this so much unconditional love. But I had to put more hours in grooming and just being more with my Silky Terrier. She's like a baby.
Mm-hmm. And now tell me, what had you start this, or what had you create this app?
Well, I have a special connection with dogs. I'm like a huge dog lover, because as a kid, I used to be afraid of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this huge phobia. I couldn't even see a dog, you know, two blocks away. And I got into therapy, nothing worked. I was just so scared of dogs. And then my mom decided to get me a dog.
Mm-hmm.
For my birthday, she got me the Silky Terrier, which I currently own. Her name is Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
And she cured me. And she made me lose all of the fear of dogs that I used to have.
Hmm.
So I started to see and realize how important dogs could be to people.
Yeah.
And that made me see that I had a special connection with dogs. And I started seeing that so many people out there had special connections with dogs. I just wanted to create a special place where you could share this, express yourself, and not worry if somebody in Facebook is going to think that you're silly for expressing your love for dogs.
Yeah.
It's an network for dog lovers.
Yeah.
Everybody can express what they want and how they feel about their dogs. It's no problem.
Don't be ashamed.
Exactly. I mean, we're proud to be dog lovers.
That's right. I have a radio show all about dogs. It's all we talk about.
Yeah.
No shame
here. You know exactly what I mean, right?
Yeah. Well, and there is a lot to it for sure, like you said. I mean, it's a very deep connection. There's a lot to it for people who are open to it. There really is a lot there. The connection that people can have with dogs is very powerful and can be very healing. And that's what you experienced with your connection with your little Silky Terrier. And now you have another dog. And now here you are with you've created the app for pet lovers. And it's called Kloof. And that's Klooff. And it's a free app that you can download from iTunes, either for your iPhone or your iPad, and you can go on there and create a profile for your pet and interact with other dog lovers. And if you're single, maybe even meet a desirable mate.
That's true.
Depending on what kind of dog they have.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think all dogs make people look more attractive.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
No, I mean, it's true. If you're seeing somebody in the street that has a dog, that definitely says something good about them.
Yes, I agree. I you know, for me, I think that's probably stating the obvious. But, you know, if somebody says that they don't like dogs, I'm kind of like, what's wrong with you then?
Yeah, that's the red flag right there.
Yeah. So, again, it's called Kloof, Klooff. And we've just been talking with Alejandro Russo, who's the founder of Kloof, the app for pet lovers. Thanks so much for spending some time with us today, and best of luck to you and your app for dog lovers.
Thank you so much for having me, Julie. It was super fun.
All right.
I wish you the best of luck as well.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, we are going to be back in just a few minutes. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
This is Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's litter box and food bowls. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Show discount. Invisible Fence, for the life of your pet.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Time for something different. Time for Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. We were just talking with Alejandro Russo, who is the founder of Kloof, the app for pet lovers. I think Lady Gaga says his name a little bit better than I do, though.
Alejandro. Alejandro. Yeah.
Well, interesting topic, and I do appreciate his acknowledgement that it doesn't matter whether the person is straight or gay in their study of what dog breed made a man more attractive if he was standing with that breed versus a woman.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'd have to think about that. Eric, is there a certain type of dog that would draw you to a woman more than others?
Hmm. A friendly dog.
Yeah. maybe not so much the breed, but the...
Yeah, it's the attitude of the dog, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I would agree with that. And, you know, I haven't really thought about... Well, I'm pretty much attracted to all dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, well, certainly some more than others. If I see a Cairn Terrier, I will freak out because I just think that they're adorable. And we used to have one when I was in high school. I mean, there's lots of breeds that I just am especially drawn to, but
right.
those little Terry Cairns or Scotties.
But would you be more attracted to the person that has the dog just because you thought the dog was fun?
I don't know that my mind necessarily goes to, would this person be a good long-term mate
right.
for me or not? But I'm engaged, so I'm also not looking for that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that even when I was single, I don't know that I necessarily imparted those, you know, sort of was like, you have a dog, and then make, you know, like, what does that mean for how fun you're going to be on a date? Or
right.
are you really long-term material?
Right.
Interesting that he said Chihuahuas, people were like. But,
no
you know,
face.
That.
They're needy.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know. It's so individual is the thing. I mean, that's what the dogs are so successful, and there's so many different breeds because people connect with different breeds. Like we were just talking at the first half of the show with Tim Bishop and Christian Stern. Christian is the founder of Northwest Boxer Rescue, and Tim is involved with Boxer Rescue. He's one of the foster homes, and he also has his own show on the station called Constructing Whatever. He's in construction. And it's a call-in show about home repair and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's got a boxer, and he does foster care, and they have a really special connection with boxers.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you know, people get dogs so many different ways brought into their life that making any kind of generalization about the person based on their dog seems a little bit weird to me. Like the last dog I had, his name was Duke, and he was a mutt. But I got him because as a puppy, my uncle's neighbors had a litter of puppies, and he brought him over. My uncle brought him over to my grandparents' house, and he's like, "Oh, isn't this guy cute? He needs a home." So we adopted him.
Mm-hmm.
So end of story. It wasn't like this says anything about me. It was just random, you know?
Yeah.
And he turned out to be a fantastic dog and
yeah.
loved him dearly. But the idea that anybody could get any kind of information about me based on, you know, what Duke looked like seems a little bit silly.
And I think, too.
Maybe how he behaved.
Yes.
Say something.
And for me, it would not be about the appearance. I mean, and I work with dogs professionally, so I understand breeds and their temperament and their personalities very well. So I find it interesting, like, if somebody tells me that they have, like, for example, Australian cattle dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I have two of them. These are not easy dogs. So it's sort of impressive to me if somebody has a dog that or a breed that I kind of know is generally more to handle. Like, how much of a dog enthusiast is this person? And again, like you said, they're all generalizations, and that's not really where I go first thing, especially,
right.
you know. But it is kind of an interest. It's a fun thing to talk about and a fun thing to kind of speculate about. And I don't know, maybe are there a lot of love matches made at dog parks?
That's entirely possible. I'll tell you one thing. People did certainly talk to me more when I was out walking Duke than when I was just walking by myself.
Yeah.
So I think it's an icebreaker.
Absolutely. I was just talking about this with a friend. If I am ever at a party, somebody's party, and I don't know many people there, you know? Mm-hmm. As soon as people find out what I do, it's like, oh, my dog, blah, blah, you know, and then goes on and talks about it. And it is a great piece for conversation for sure. When you find dog lovers, and I don't know, is the same true for cats? You have a cat, my cat.
Absolutely, but people rarely see you walking your cat and want to talk to you.
It's true. It's true. I wonder about the same study with cats. Well, very interesting. Really fun show. Got to talk about a bunch of different topics today. And I am going on vacation on Monday.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We are going out to what the cattle dogs would consider the best place on earth, which is
heaven on earth.
Heaven on earth for cattle dog. Cattle dog heaven on earth, really dogs in general. Some friends of mine have 150 acres out in northeastern Washington state, and so we are going out there. And it is amazing to see how these dogs transform when they are out in that much space and they have the opportunity to just not only be with me all day, but to be off leash, just running all day. I mean, for like 15 hours straight off leash outside with me. In beautiful country, that part of the state is just gorgeous, and it's off the grid, so to speak. So there's nothing to worry about. There's no cars. If anything, there's you know, a cow every once in a while will wander through the property because they do free range for free roaming cows up there, and being cattle dogs, I mean, really, it is cattle dog truly heaven on earth. It's like, not only is this place the coolest place ever, but now you're going to tell me that there's actually cows wandering through? I mean, for a cattle dog, it's like there's nothing better. We just discovered a new food. It's actually not new to the market, but new for us that we tried. And it's a sort of a category of food that is, I think, one that is growing the fastest in the market. So there's been like your dry food, your kibble, and your canned food. And those have been around for several decades, 80 or so years. And then you have your raw food, which we've talked quite a bit about on the show before. And then there's this whole category of dehydrated food that has really more recently gained in popularity. And it's not a food category that I have had a ton of experience with because I had been, you know, feeding raw food and an advocate of raw food and even cooked food, too. I mean, generally speaking, the less processing, the better when it comes to pet food. And so but I've had a lot of feedback from some clients of mine who, when I'm talking with, I work with dogs with training and behavior through my company, Sensitive Dog, and you can find us online at sensitivedog.com. But I've gotten a lot of feedback where I had my clients went into All the Best Pet Care because their dog was having, you know, chronic soft stool or digestive upset. And All the Best had recommended to them on a few different occasions, a few different clients, that they try this dehydrated food. And there's one, the specific one that I've gotten feedback about is called the Honest Kitchen. And I was just getting this great feedback from my clients. And so I was like, oh, you know, the proof is in the pudding, so to speak. And when I say pudding, I mean
in the dehydrated pudding,
in the poop, really.
Mm. Your favorite topic. You always got to squeeze that in.
I just do it for your grossed out sound. Anyway, and yeah, it really is though. I mean, a food can look good on paper, but if the dog does not digest it well, and especially if many dogs do not digest it well, then that's really what counts the most. And so anyway, I tried this food for our own dogs yesterday, and they loved it, and their poops are beautiful, and I'm excited about this new sort of category of food that I can learn more about and try some different brands and stuff. But we had some great success with Honest Kitchen, so if you have a dog with sensitivities or if you just want to give your dog really, really great nutrition, it's also great to supplement you can actually add it into the kibble really easily as well. I really recommend this option, especially if people are not really up for raw food for whatever reason. So check that out. And we do have a new show next week, and then we'll be playing one of my favorite shows as an encore broadcast the following week. And then I will be back later in June, but I will be out in heaven on earth for cattle dogs for a while. So I'm looking forward to that. And thanks so much to Northwest Boxer Rescue for being on the show, and Alejandro Russo with Kloof, the app for pet lovers. Thanks for listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.